ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ Last week we saw verse 12, which is a very important verse in this chapter, because here Bhagwan has made a statement that the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas, they proceed from me, they come from me. I am the originator of these three gunas. However, please know that they are in me, I am not in them. And this is a very, very important statement that needs to be understood. What exactly does he mean when he says they are in me and but I am not? What kind of relationship is that? They're in me and I'm not in them. So first thing to understand is the dependency. If when he says they are in me, it means that they are dependent on me and I am not in them means I am not dependent on them. The computer to be played is dependent on the to be operated is dependent on the electricity. But if something goes wrong with the computer or if I don't want to turn the computer on, it has got nothing to do with electricity. Electricity will remain as is. So so computer is in electricity, but electricity is not in the computer. Okay. Computer is dependent on the electricity for its functioning, but electricity is not dependent for its existence on the computer. Whether the computer is plugged in or not, it doesn't matter to electricity, number one. Second thing is, sattva, rajas and tamas, they cannot be seen, but they can be only inferred through their manifestations. And the manifestation of sattva is knowledge and purity and peace. Of rajas is dynamism, activity. And of tamas is inertia. So what Bhagwan is saying by saying that I am not in them means because of sattva, if there is somebody who is knowledgeable or who has knowledge, because of rajas, someone who is very, very active and dynamic, or because of tamas, if somebody is very lazy, has inertia, procrastination, etc., etc., I don't become knowledgeable, I don't become active, I don't become lazy. So the manifestations of the three gunas has absolutely no effect on me. But if the bulb becomes, it fuses or it suddenly becomes, sometimes, it becomes less bright. That doesn't mean electricity is becoming less bright or electricity is fusing. So whatever is happening with the gunas has absolutely no effect on the supreme consciousness, on the substratum. Okay. Third thing, sattva, rajas and tamas can be considered as the waking dream and the deep sleep state. So when he says they are in me means I support them. I support the waking dream and deep sleep states, but I am not in them. So for me, it doesn't make a difference whether it is a waking state or the dream sleep state or the deep sleep or the dream state. So the three states are because of me, are experienced because of me, but I don't become the waker, the dreamer and the deep sleeper because of the three states. What we are doing is we are identifying with the states and then I say, I'm the waker. I am the sleeper. I am the deep dreamer. This is what I do because of identification. Our understanding should actually be that I am the one who is supporting the three states. I am the one who is a witness of the three states. I am not the states. Because unless I am something other than the states, I cannot witness it. If I'm myself in there, I cannot. So the very fact that I know that I'm awake, I know that I dreamt, I know that I had a good sleep, tells me that I am something other than these three. This is what Bhagwan is trying to tell us. So also, they are in me. I means I control them. They are under my control. I am not under their control. That is the difference between Jiva and Ishvara. Ishvara controls the sattva, rajas, tamas, and these three gunas control us. And that's why I get very active and agitated, and or I feel very, you know, when I feel lazy and procrastinating, etc., etc. That tells us that we are. How do I know that I'm not under the control of the gunas? Okay, this is one point here that we can just look at. It's not like directly connected to the verse, but when I say that, you know, Ishvara controls them and we are under their control, what is the manifestation of that? The manifestation of that I am under their control is, classic example is when our alarm goes off. Yeah, oh God, another 5 minutes snooze, right? That means that I am under control of tamas. Tamas is controlling me because in my mind there is tamas, and now I'm like, no, I want to sleep for another 5 minutes, and I press the snooze button, and then 5 minutes is 1 hour and I don't know it. But if I'm able to say that, no, my alarm has gone off and it's my time to get up, and I, not that you jump out of it, but you get up at the same get up right away after the alarm, then you have conquered tamas. That is an indication that tamas is under your control and you are not being controlled by tamas. One of the, you know, he's a priest, he's a monk in the ISKCON, this thing. So he was saying in one of his lectures that you have to decide when you want to wake up. Okay. So once you decide, you know, this is my time, 5 o'clock or 4:30 or 5:30, 6 o'clock. Don't use the snooze button, he says. Don't press the snooze button. If you think that, oh, that's a bit early, then yourself you decide, I need 5 or 10 minutes more, and you keep your alarm for 4:10 or 5:10, whatever, you know, 10 minutes later. But once you've set that alarm, and once the alarm goes off, you must get out of bed at the same time, once it goes off. That is how you know. Or if you have to study, you know, like with me, it happens a lot. Like, I know that I need to study because there is a lecture, right? Now, if somebody calls or I want to go for a walk, I must be able to calm down my mind and sit and read. If I can do that, then I'm controlling sattva or rajas. Because what is happening is, when I need sattva, because I have to read, I need sattva, but my rajas is girdling up. So, you know, either I'm feeling lazy and feeling like taking a nap, or I'm feeling like doing something. And the way to use these gunas in your life, you see, it is like having 3 servants. You must have the knack of how to use those servants. You must have the knack. So when rajas is needed, you must be able to recall rajas. And at that time, there's no point feeling, oh, I should be reading, I feel guilty, this, that, and all that. Because when work is to be done, you need rajas. It's like you have surgery in the hospital, and you're in the hospital. Now you've been told 24 hours you have to sleep or lie down. You must be able to invoke tamas at that time. That is the time to invoke tamas, actually. Because now that I've had surgery, I need to rest, our body needs to rest, I must invoke tamas. And if you can do that and very peacefully go to sleep for 24 hours, you have overcome rajas and sattva at that point. Because what happens is, when you're asked to rest, you feel like getting up, let me call somebody, let me talk to somebody, this room is closing in on me, I am bored. All these thoughts must not come. If they are coming, then rajas is overpowering you. And if you succumb to them, oh, how boring, let me just call somebody. Because you have the phone with you, right? And you call. That means you have become the servant of rajas. Because rajas wanted to call, now you have listened to it. This thing, you must be able to say, no, this is the time for tamas. I want to be tamasic and I want to sleep. And if you can do that, then they are considered under your control. And in chapter 14, when we do it, Bhagwan says, the one who can control the gunas is a realized master. Because Bhagwan is beyond the gunas. You go beyond the gunas, you are Bhagwan. Gunatita Purusha Lakshana, he will give, which is exactly same as realized persons, Sita Pradnya Lakshana and Bhakti Lakshana, exact same. So that's why this is very, very important. The sattva, rajas, tamas, to understand this is extremely important. You must be able to go introverted and figure out what condition your mind is. Is it in sattva, is it in rajas, or is it in tamas? This knowledge you must get. And when you get that, knowledge is power. So when you know that the mind is sattvic, quickly take a book and start reading. Use that sattva. When you know that the mind is, you know, rajasic active, okay, then get some work done. Get your house cleaned. Get cooking done. Get whatever, you know, clean the cupboards out. You know, whatever, vacuuming. Like, use that. And what will happen is when you use them like this, your three servants, when you use them like that, that rajas will go down. There'll be a time when you'll be active and then say, okay, now I need to sit. I want to sit and read. Going into sattva. Or I'm very tired. Now I need to take a nap. Take rest. And then you, it's okay. We need all the three gunas. I've told you this many, many times. Don't ever think that, oh, I'll get rid of tamas 100%. You can't. You won't be able to sleep then. So you need all of them, but you need to control them as well. You must consider them as your servants, and you must be able to recall each one in the circumstance when you need it. That is the trick. Okay? Now, what is the relationship between this gunas? What does he mean by they are in me, I'm not? What sort of a relationship is this? It's a relationless relationship. I don't know if I covered this portion. I did cover last time, right? Okay. So between the snake and the rope, what is the relation? The snake, from the viewpoint of the snake, we say, oh, it is because of the rope that I saw the snake. There is a cause and effect relationship when you look at it from the effect point of view. But when you look at it from the other side, when you look at it from the cause point of view, there is actually no relationship. Because the cause is saying, there is no effect. What effect are you talking about? What snake are you talking about is what the rope is saying. So how can there be a relationship between something which is existing, which is not there at all? How can there be a relation? But when you look from the other side and you see the snake, you're like, of course there is a snake. Of course. And what is the cause? Cause is the rope. So the relation is because of the duality that is experienced. When you are looking at the ocean and you look at the waves and they all seem different and, you know, this and that, and your attention is on the waves, there is a spurious duality. And that is what is telling you that there is a relation, because, oh, there are waves and they are dancing on the ocean, or their waves are there because of the ocean. So cause is ocean, effect is waves. I am looking at the effect. I am saying there is a relationship between the waves and the ocean. But if you ask the ocean is saying, what waves? They're water only. They are me only. There is no. So that's how it is. When I look at sattva, rajas, tamas and I see all this, the substratum is Bhagwan and cause is Bhagwan. So there is a relation. But from Bhagwan's side, there is no relationship. So therefore, it's a relationless relationship. That is what needs to be understood. Now, moving on. He says that, okay, so these gunas are there. So what? Problem is, because of these gunas, people don't understand me, is what Bhagwan's complaint is. That's what he says here. Tribhir gunamai bhavaihi ebhi sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabhijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Deluded by these natures, states or things composed of the three gunas of Prakriti, all this world knows me not as immutable and distinct from them. Okay. The tribhi means three. Three gunas. So we know them, sattva, rajas and tamas. The word guna also means rope. In Sanskrit, guna also means rope. And that's why the word, this guna word is used, because a rope is used to tie something. A rope can tie. So these, because these three sattva, rajas and tamas, they tie us to this sansar, and that's why they are called as guna in Sanskrit. Okay, now if there is a single thread, then okay, maybe we can break it. But now if that thread is strengthened by another one and another one, take the example of twigs. If there is only one twig, very easily breakable. You know the saying, united we stand, divided we fall. So if there is only one twig, it is very, very easy to break. But now you make a, you know, you bind them together, tie with a rope. Now you try to break that, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever twigs, is going to be very difficult. So with the gunas, this rope is made out of three threads, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Sattva also binds, please understand. So these three threads of sattva, rajas, and tamas, they make up one rope. And therefore, this rope then becomes difficult to break, to cut. So what he's saying is, because of this rope, evi sarvam idam jagat. Now here, jagat must be understood as not the world itself per se, but the people of the world, the people living in the world, the jivas. See, when we said, oh, India gained independence, okay, or whichever country gained independence. The land, what independence? The land was never bound by a fence or something like, nothing like that. What is meant is the people of India got independent or got independence, right? Or if you say this country is rich country or this country is poor country, the country by itself is not rich or poor. The people in that country are, if there are majority of them are rich, then you say that's a rich country. The majority of them are poor. We see those differences, right? So people, so when he says sarvam idam jagat, this world is under the influence of the three gunas. So the people in the world, the jivas, are under the influence of these three gunas, because of which they are mohitam. Mohitam is deluded. Now, the question is, okay, the gunas are there. First of all, you cannot see the gunas directly, but yeah, we are seeing the manifestation. So what is there to get deluded? What does it mean that these jivas are deluded? That we should understand. Okay. So now there is this manifestation. I have told this to you before, that the world is actually nothing other than an interaction of the three gunas. Okay. So how do I get deluded? The world is an interaction of the three gunas. How do I get deluded? Is by I set up a relationship with these gunas. And let us just take an example of how a relationship is set up. Two, three ways of setting up relationships. Our most common example, which I've always given you, is of, suppose if I'm making a dish, a recipe. Okay, fine. The knowledge I told you is sattva. I know the recipe of that particular dish. So that's knowledge that is coming from sattva. I go to the store and I buy all the ingredients that are required for that recipe. That is tamas, because it's all the inert ingredients that I bought. That is tamas. And when I actually cook it, bake it, steam it, whatever that I have to do to it, I do it. That is rajas. Okay. Now, that recipe has come out of the play of these three gunas. There is knowledge, there is activity, and then there is this inert material. If I had only the knowledge without rajas and tamas, I can't make the dish. If I don't have the, how to make it, but I've got the ingredients and I've got the stove and the oven and everything, I can't do it. Please, and that's why I'm telling you, without all three, nothing can happen without the three. Now, this has happened because of the interaction of these gunas. Now I'm going to set up a relationship with this, saying, I am the one that knew the recipe. I went to the store. I bought the ingredients. I steamed this dish, cooked this dish, deep fried, whatever. When I bring that I in, which is the small I, it is not the big I. Why? Because the big I, the Supreme Consciousness, Bhagwan has already said, I've got nothing to do with them. So naturally, it is not Bhagwan who is saying that, okay, I did. No, it is that small I, the ego, which has now set up a relationship with the gunas by taking responsibility for what has happened. Instead of saying that it is because of this sattva guna that I know the recipe, I remember the recipe, how many recipes, so I don't even remember. So I remember that I know what to buy. So I went and I was capable of buying, and that is the tamas. And then I did it. Instead of that, now I've set a relationship. Now, once I say I did it and I knew it and I this thing, if somebody comes and they like it, ahaha, immediately, I'm very happy. But someone else might come and say, what is this horrible thing? Immediately, now I'm angry. Okay, so the way what has happened is only an interaction of the gunas has happened. I have set up my relationship with the three. Now it is creating like and dislike in my mind. Because of the like and dislike, I am now happy or unhappy if somebody likes it or somebody does not like the thing. Because I have made a relation, I have made a relationship with those three gunas. And now this likes and dislikes are covering the, are deluding me. That is how I set up a relationship and get deluded. Okay? Because when I say like and dislike, then whatever people will talk, suppose, see the other part of it. Suppose if I'm very clear that, okay, the three gunas, the interaction has happened and this dish has come out. Now somebody comes and says, thank you. What you would say is, thank you, Lord. It was a good dish. Suppose if somebody comes and says, no, it is bad. It's not, I didn't like it. Okay, Lord did it. Okay, fine. So I remain fine. When I do not set a relationship, I will always be fine. Because then I will be identified with the Supreme Consciousness. The minute I set up a relationship, I become the small I. From I am actually the big I, but because of this relationship, I become the small I, the ego. And then the ego hurts. It is the ego which hurts or feels happy. Okay. The other way that I set up relationship with the sattva, rajas and tamas is I get attached to material things, inert things. And we have seen this in the chapter one where Dhritarashtra was attached to the throne and the crown. It's inert things. He was attached. So now I've set up a relationship of like and dislike, right? I'm attached means I like this. Now, when I like something, or I dislike something, both of them are causing fear in my mind, right? Because I like it, therefore I desire it. Am I going to get it or not? Fear. Okay, I dislike it. Oh Lord, you know, I dislike it. I dislike snow. God knows when is snow going to fall on me now. Again, fear. Whether I like it also, there is fear. Whether I dislike it is also fear. So what therefore Bhagwan is saying, you just rise above the like and dislike. That will alleviate fear. Because now when there is fear, how you will know the substratum? You're always afraid. This happens, I'm afraid. That happens, I'm afraid. That I'm... Whole time. Afraid, afraid, afraid. So both will create fear. That is why you should... So, you know, we think, oh, if I like and I'm good, good, and I like everything. No, that's why always we are told in Vedanta to go beyond likes and dislike both. We are not saying, we are saying that don't hate anybody. But at the same time, we are also saying don't get attached to anybody either. Right? See, don't hate anybody doesn't mean you start getting attached to everybody. Then everything that happens to everybody, you'll feel sad. In our case, the problem is that not that we are sad when something happens to somebody else. We only get sad when things happen to our people or where I have to set up a relationship. My sister, my children, my family, my friend, my this, my that. So getting attached to inert objects is coming from tamas. Getting attached to power, to activity, to, you know, what should I do next? What should I do? Sometimes even I feel like that. My whole life is like a to-do list, a giant to-do list. next. That is getting attached to rajas and knowledge. Even not people are very, they say, I have so much knowledge. You know, I have so much. That is getting attached to sattva. That what I've done now is I've set up a relationship with the three gunas. And that's what Bhagwan is saying here, that these three, tribihi gunamai bhavai. Bhavai, because bhavai is thoughts, vritti. So what is happening is these gunas are creating thoughts in my mind. Like this, right? Thoughts of what? Like and dislike. Basic, when you come to basic, two thoughts are like, either I like it or I don't like it. So this bhavai word, this is the thought. So these three gunas, they are interacting on their own. Don't attach to them, but you set up a relationship with them. They create thoughts in your mind of like and dislike. This like and dislike gives you agitation. I told you, even like will give you agitation and dislike. Agitation in Vedanta means only movement. When we use the word agitation, people think it's a negative. There is a negative connotation to the word agitation. But even when I'm happy, know that it is an agitation in the mind. I'm happy and excited, say. Suppose something good has happened. 10 people, I will go, this happened, right? That is an agit. It's a movement. Any movement in the mind is going to hide the substratum. The peaceful substratum, which is beyond all agitations, beyond all movements, this movement is going to hide that. And that's why mohitam na abhijanati. Because of this, this is the delusion. This is how delusion is caused by setting up a relationship with the gunas. Now, because of this delusion, they do not abhijanati, recognize. Recognize word can be split into re and then cognize. Cognize means knowledge, perception, but recognize means re-knowledge, means getting knowledge of the knowledge which was already there. That is what it recognizes. That's what recognition is. Cognizes one. Therefore, you know, in 18th chapter, when we reach there, by God's blessings, we'll reach someday. Arjun says, I have now regained my memory. That is the line he uses. Regained my memory means what? Means in the first chapter, before the first chapter, I kind of knew who I was. From an empirical standpoint, see, he went on the battlefield. He was a Pandava prince. He forgot that. He forgot that I'm a warrior. I'm a Pandava prince. I'm a Kshatriya prince. I am standing on the side of Dharma and I need to fight these people. That part he forgot. And what he thought, I am the grandson, I am this disciple, I am the cousin, I am the this, I am the that, all that erroneous notion. That. And also the other one is that, yes, I forgot my supreme nature. That is what has happened to us. We are that supreme consciousness, but we have forgotten that. And the reason we have forgotten is because of our connection with the gunas. Okay, so he says, mohitam na abhij, they don't recognize, they cognition is there. Because you see, you have to understand that knowing the supreme reality is not creating the supreme reality. We are not creating anything. It is already there within us. We need to recognize it. Again, we have to understand it. We have to understand that knowledge again, which was already there, which is already there. It is not something which is not there. And we have to go find it and then cognize it. No, cognition is already there. Just in the, you know, in the feeling that I am, that is cognition. I am. Will anybody say I'm not? Does anybody say I'm not? Nobody says I'm not. Everybody says I am. I am. I am. On the contrary, then again, I am so and so and I am this. That all is there. But I am is a very, very aham thought is always there with us. Okay, now what is happening is that aham is misplaced. The aham that I think I am Jaya, I am female, I am 5'4", I am mother of two children, I am this. This is the aham that I am thinking. But actually, when I come to know that this is not the I, the big I, then it becomes a recognition. You understand it? It's a recognizing of the thing that is already there. It's not recognize something, not gaining some new knowledge. I am, I was doing all the time. No, nobody has ever said I am not. So the knowledge is there, but it was forgotten. So because of the play of the gunas, this knowledge has been forgotten. So that's why he says, na abhija, they don't recognize me. Cognition is already there. That's why this abhijanati word is used. Recognize, but they don't recognize me. I am there. Okay. Mamebhya paramavayam. So what do they not recognize is me. Who is what? Who are you? Who is this I? Who is this me? Parama avyayam. I am the supreme imperishable being. They do not recognize me as the supreme imperishable being. I am that sat swarupa, which is of the nature of existence. So I am eternally existing. There is no death for me. Who am I? Okay, who am I? I am sat swarupa, no death. Constant existence. I am Chit Swarupa. I am of the nature of knowledge, constantly, always, without a break, without any, that's avyam, perish, existence remains the same. It doesn't rise or fall, nothing, no birth, no death, etc., etc. And I am Ananda Swarupa. I am of the nature of bliss. So no matter what circumstances are there outside, I am always happy. This is already there, but I have forgotten this. And now I think I'm going to die and I'm afraid. I think I don't know anything, knowledge. I consider myself as, you know, I don't know so many things, knowledge. Ananto I've never experienced only because I'm always miserable. So that's why he says, Mame Bhya Parama Avyayam. So this recognition of me as Sat Swarupa, Chit Swarupa, Ananda Swarupa has to happen. It is not happening right now because the jivas are deluded. Jagat means jiva here. Jivas are deluded. Why are they deluded? Because they have set up a relationship with these gunas which have got nothing to do with me. The minute we break our relationship with the gunas, and chapter 14 will deal with this in great detail, when we rise above the gunas, when we make them our slaves, when we use them to our advantage, when we are able to, see, when will we able to use them? When we recognize them. People don't even know. People don't even know. Most of the people, common people, don't know all this. But now that we know, we must be able to recognize the mood of our mind. Is it sattvic? Is it rajasic? Is it tamasic? And when those moods are there, you do the corresponding activity, you will excel in that. Otherwise, what happens is you're feeling very lazy and lethargic and tamasic. Now you're trying to read. What is going to happen? You're going to fall asleep. With a book open, you're going to fall asleep. Right? It's not going to come. I remember this, you know, in college, I used to think exams are coming. I should not take a nap. I should not sleep. And I would be studying. And I would be feeling sleepy. And I wouldn't understand what it is. But that time I didn't know it. Now it comes to my mind. That time I should have actually taken half an hour nap and then started studying. But I wasn't, I had not coming this, I mean, I didn't know anything about the mission or anything, right? That time it wasn't, I still recall that. So now what I do, if I'm reading and if it's like the afternoon time and if I'm, I feel like my eyes are getting this thing, I say, no, better take a half an hour nap, get it over with. Then I wake up, I'm fresh, I can read. So when tamas is overpowering, don't try to read. The way you can overpower tamas and is by rajas. So I'll tell you that also. So if you're feeling very sleepy, go for a walk. Now, sometimes I don't want to sleep in the afternoon. I will go for a walk. But I cannot read. I know that I can't. I can't read during the day. So then I will go get rid of my tamas by rajas and then get rid of the rajas by sattva. From tamas to go into sattva is very, very difficult. It is really not possible because it's three, you know, steps. So get rid of tamas with rajas and then get when you do activity, that rajas will quieten. So if there is no work at home or if there is nothing, you're most up to date with your cooking and all that, then go for a walk. And that will calm the mind down. It'll bring it into sattva and then it'll be possible to read. Okay. So tribihi gunamaihi bhavaihi ebhi sarvam idam jagat. These three gunas, they create bhavas in the mind, thoughts in the mind, in the minds of all the jivas. All the world means all the people of the world. And because of this, they get mohitam, they get deluded. And therefore, they do not recognize me as the supreme being. And the delusion is because of the real. Because if they are getting deluded, we should know why they are getting deluded. Then once we know why they are getting deluded, then we can avoid it. Na? If I just say, okay, so what does that mean? Deluded means what? Now you know that this is what is happening. Either I'm getting too attached to inner things or to power or to knowledge, or I am connecting myself, their action is coming out because of their interaction. I'm taking responsibility for that action. So when you don't do that, then you have not set up a relationship with them. All right. Okay. Now the question arises. Okay. I understand. I'm getting deluded because of the gunas. How do I overcome this? So Bhagavan gives the answer. Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. My father has written a little note here. So this is from when he studied in Sandipani, heart of chapter 7. This verse 14 is the heart of chapter 7. Very important. And I'm sure Swami Purushottamananji, who was there, Acharya, must have told, he said, by heart, memorize this verse. Okay, so it's that important. Verily, this divine illusion of mine, made up of gunas, caused by the qualities, is difficult to cross over. Those who take refuge in me alone come to cross over this illusion. Okay. Daivi hesha gunamai. Daivi. Daivi means of the deva. Daivi. Of means it's mine. Who does it belong to? It's daivi. It's divine. Divine means it belongs to God, belongs to the Lord, or belongs to Bhagavan, or the Supreme Consciousness. Yesha gunamayi. This gunamayi means mayi, see, annamaya kosha, mano maya. We have that maya word, that mayi is that same thing. So it's pervaded. The gunas. Gunas are pervading all this. Okay. Annamaya means what? Maya means what? Food. Pervaded by food. You know, maya covered. So yesha gunamayi mama maya. Very, very important. This is my maya, he says. This sattva, rajas, tamas. Maya, see, mama maya durate, very difficult to cross over. The point here is that it is called as maya when it is referred to by Bhagwan, because the gunas are under his control. In us, these gunas, same gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, they're called as avidya. And why? Because avidya, because of the delusion, what is it causing? Forgetfulness of the supreme reality, which is ignorance. That's why it is called as avidya in jivas and maya in Bhagwan. And when the three gunas are under his control, they become his power. That is what I was telling you, that if we can control the gunas, if they're servant, who is a servant? If I have a servant in the house, I have control over him, na, or her. I control, he doesn't control me. I control the servant. So when they are my servants, when I can treat them like my servants and recall them, what do I do with the servant? Okay, this work is to be done. Now you do this, you do that, you do that. If I can do that, then they will become my power. Na? You get it? You get it? If they are controlling me, then they are my what? Then I am the servant and they are the master. That is what, that's condition we are in right now. Tamas tells us to sleep. We say, okay, fine, let me sleep another half an hour. Tamas says, oh, I don't want to go to class today. Right? So this mama maya, he says, it is my, therefore he says, my, it is my maya, it is my power. Why is it my power? Because I can use them as I want to. So it can become our power too. Please understand. Because why? Because we are Bhagwan only. Except we have forgotten. Therefore it can become our power also. Mama Maya, it is very, very difficult to cross over. See, it's like this. I think Vinita has a dog, right? So somebody has this fearful big dog, okay? Now you're trying to approach their house. Now that dog sees you and starts barking at you. And he's in the you know, front yard. Now he won't even let you come inside into the front yard, right? So what can you do to the dog? What you're going to call, you know, Vinita, your dog is not letting me get in. Now, please come and control your, why? Because it is your dog. So you have to surrender to the owner. You can't surrender to the dog. This is the idea here. He says, my Maya is so difficult to cross over. You better surrender to me. Because she's under my control. And then I can let you in to cross over. Mameva ye prapadyante, maya metam tarantite, mameva ye prapadyante. Those who surrender to me, they will cross over this ocean of sansar. Prapadyante, prapatti, coming from the word prapatti. See, there are two words, prapatti and sharan. Sharan also is surrender, prapatti also is surrender. If you remember, prapatti word came in chapter 2. that's where Arjun, there is a verse where this prapatti word is there. I don't remember the verse, but that's where it is. Both mean surrender. But what prapatti, what is the difference between this surrender and that surrender? The surrender sharan is when the disciple goes in the surrender of the guru. When he goes and he says that, oh guru, please take me as your disciple. So, you know, that is one type of surrender. But this one is where we ourselves, it's not the disciple, but it's the devotee who goes to Bhagwan and says, I'm completely surrendering to you. That's why this word is used here, prapadyante. So, so those who surrender to me can cross over this. Okay. One thing we have to add, this daivi word is a little bit, can be interpreted in two ways. Either it can be interpreted as daivi, which means divine, means of the Lord, or it can also be interpreted as devasya, devasya meaning jivasya, means of the jiva. So this maya, either it is the divine maya or it belongs to us, the jiva. Okay. Now, what is the difference between the divine maya and the jiva's maya? And why is Bhagwan saying, so what is actually, what is Bhagwan meaning here, difficult to cross? Bhagwan says that my maya, and let me explain what is Bhagwan's maya. See, when we look at nature, you know, we see the season. Now the all the leaves are falling, fall is coming, winter will come, summer will come, sunrise is there, sunset, rain, snow, cloudy weather, this thing. All this srishti, all this creation that you see is the maya of the Lord. It is Ishvara Srishti. Swami Vidyaranya calls it Ishvara Srishti. Means it is the creation of the Lord. And actually, if you look at the creation as it is, there is really nothing wrong with it. Think about it. Don't we need snow? Don't we need rain? Don't we need water? Don't we need sunshine? Everything that all the seasons, all the, you know, all the weather and this, whatever is happening, all is required for us. Do you agree? Isn't it? Suppose if we say it's summer or we like summer, huh? Now all the time there should be summer. Now where will rain come from? How will we grow the crops? Or only winter, that also is not, then sunshine also we need. Like we need everything, right? So what Bhagwan has created, there is no problem, there is nothing wrong in it. Now, what is this Jivasya Maya? What is the problem? Which Maya is the problem? That is the question. Which Maya is very, very hard to cross over? So this Bhagwan's Maya, if you accept it, there is no problem. What is the problem? Some sunshine. Okay, you enjoy. You know that this is not going to last. Tomorrow is going to rain. Wednesday, I think Vancouver rain. We have had really beautiful weather. Huh? Honestly, it's been hot. We've been walking with only with a t-shirt. I mean, it was amazing. So the thing, and it's going to end, they told me. But anyway, whatever. So when the sun is there, enjoy the sun. When it rains, then enjoy the rain. Okay, there is no problem. Problem comes when I push my likes and dislikes in there. That is Jiva Simaya. What is Jiva Srishti is what is in my head. Jiva Srishti is only in my head. This outside creation that I see is Ishvara Srishti. It's created by Ishvara. It is Ishvara's Maya. And because it is Ishvara's Maya, there is no problem with it at all. At all. Think about it. Every day, sunrise, even on Sunday, you know, we want to sleep in. If sun wants to sleep in, what will happen? What will happen? If wind says, you know what, I'm tired of blowing now. What is this? How long can I keep moving? We will say that, right? How long can I keep walking? How long can I keep walking? How long can I keep working? I want to retire. Sun doesn't say that. Moon doesn't say that, right? So there is no problem with the creation. But in my mind, there is another creation. What is the creation in my mind? I don't like this and I like that. And that creation is the Maya, which is extremely difficult to cross over. This is what this is actually. actually this verse is telling us. It's on the surface, it says, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Dur. It's my Maya and it's very difficult to cross over. Because the question will arise, Bhagwan, if it is your Maya, why are you making it so difficult to cross over? Like the dog, why can't you just tie your stupid dog and then I can just walk in? So you keep that Maya aside, no, and then I will just come to you. That was the problem. So that's what Bhagwan is saying. My Maya is not a problem. I am standing here waiting for you. But in your head, you've got your own Maya. And that is what the problem is. That's why it becomes very difficult. And think about it. If you just accept the weather as is, if you accept the seasons, if you accept the situations that are coming into your life as they come in, there is no problem. I just hit the wrong button. Anyway, so when does the problem come? When in my mind, I have all these thoughts. Basic two thoughts, like, dislike. I don't like this and I like that. Now problem. So Bhagwan is saying, what can I do? It is your Maya. My Maya, there is no problem. There's no problem. I have given you all the seasons. I've given you all the kinds of weathers. I give you beautiful fall colors. I give you beautiful spring flowers. Now you don't like this and you, what can I do? Because if you take it as just Bhagwan's Maya, then Bhagwan, then what, why? You can't tell me it's your Maya. See, in the dog exam, if you allow that dog to keep barking at me and then you say, no, you're not coming to my house. Arey, but you're not tying your dog. Now what should I do? Right? So this, when it says my Maya, then we'll say, Bhagwan, okay, then you control your Maya. That's why I can't come to you. Then it's not my fault. It's not my fault that you're saying your Maya is difficult. Now, so why you made it so difficult? Why can't you make it easy for us? Why can't you tie that Maya somewhere and then let us in? That's why Bhagwan says that even though it is my Maya, there is no problem. You have created your own Maya in your head. And that is the problem. So because you have created it, you need to dissolve it as well. If you're the problem, you yourself are the solution. I am not the solution. I am waiting here, waiting and waiting and waiting for you to come. But you don't come. What to do? You get? So he says, those who surrender to me. So what is surrender here now? Acceptance, right? What is surrender? What does it mean to surrender? Of course, we are touching somebody's feet and all, but that is a physical representation. But surrender is the acceptance, right? I don't accept when my likes and dislikes, my ego is in the way. But if I say, okay, chalo, you know, it's raining, let me wear a raincoat and go out, or whatever. I have accepted it. Then there is peace in my mind. Now think about it. Any situation, the minute I accept it as is, this situation is like that. Okay. I don't push my like and dislike. I don't like it this way. I like it this way. As long as I don't push my like and dislike in there and I accept the situation, there will be peace in my mind. The minute the peace comes in the mind, the substratum will be revealed. God is there. I told you, the knowledge is always there. You got to recognize it. Okay, so surrender is acceptance here. When he says, those who surrender to me, those who accept my Maya without likes and dislikes, those who do not set up a relationship with the Maya, with Maya, with the three gunas, do not set up a relationship. Do not get attached to tamas or rajas or sattva. Do not get attached. Do not do that. That is acceptance, that is surrender, and those people can come to me. I am waiting for you to come. Okay, so there are here, you know, some interpreters, they do this. There are five questions that are answered here. So Maya Kim Ashraya, what is the support of Maya? That is answered. It is me, Mama Maya. Okay, what is the support? The answer is Mama Maya, I am the support. See there, Mama Maya is there in the first line, right? So one question which is answered is, what is the support of Maya? It is me. I am the support. Okay. Maya Kim Pramanam. Pramanam is proof. What is the proof that there is this Maya? Because nobody sees Sattva Rajas Tamas, I told you. You cannot see. Nobody can show us. Now, what is the proof? The proof is it's in the effect, is in the manifestation as knowledge, action, and inertia, which I told you we see in the world. We see it in humans, we see it in animals, we see it in plants as well. It is in plants. Tulsi is sattva, the fragrant flowers are rajas, and marijuana pot, which is now legalized in Canada, is inner tamas. Because of the effect it creates on your mind. See, why do I call anything sattva, rajas, tamas? Is what effect is, even in food, there is sattvic food, tamasic food, and rajasic food. In 16th chapter, it will come. So the sattva, rajas, and tamas is determined by the effect that particular thing has on my mind. So when we eat just a salad, you know, in the afternoon, your mind will be fresh. How, think about it. Or you eat a heavy, oily meal, rice, how you will feel sleepy. Or then you have drinks, a few drinks in the afternoon. What is your mind going to be? You can't even drive. You can't think straight. That is tamas. So tamas, rajas. So the proof that these are there is the manifestations. Okay. Then Maya Kim Swarupam, what is the nature of this Maya? It is Gunamayi and it is Durataya. That is the answer. Gunamayi, it is made up of the three gunas. It is of the three gunas and it is very difficult to cross over. And therefore the point to be understood here, the deeper point is that it is Bhagwan is saying it is my Maya, but actually I have also created my own Maya, which is difficult to cross over. Bhagwan's Maya is really not difficult to cross over. But Bhagwan is saying, I cannot help you. You have created this like and dislike in your mind. That is yours. The ego is yours. Like and dislike is yours. It doesn't belong to me. So if you can rise over likes and dislikes, it'll become easy. Now the question arises, okay, if it is so easy, just surrender to you, then why not everybody is surrendering to you? Now Bhagwan answers, Bhagwan, what can I do? People don't surrender. So we'll read this verse and we'll just read the meaning and we'll take a detailed explanation next time. Because now the question will come, na? Bhagwan said, those who surrender, so then let us all surrender. Na? So Bhagwan says, yeah, you surrender, but nobody is doing it. What am I supposed to do? This is what Bhagwan is saying. Namam duskritino moodhaha prapadyante naradhamaha mayaya paratajnanaha asuram bhavam ashritaha. The evildoers, the deluded, the lowest of men, do not seek me. They whose discrimination has been destroyed by their own delusions follow the way of the demons. So there are four kinds of people, he says, that do not follow me. Don't despair, because in the next verse, he'll tell four types of people who follow him. So there are people who follow him also, and then there are people who don't follow him also. He says, what can I do? There are some people who follow, some people who what am I supposed to do? So the first one is mudaha in this verse. The first type of people are mudaha, the fools. And we will take a detailed explanation next time of who exactly a mudha is. Naradhama, next. That's number two, naradhama. Mayaya parhata jnanaha means those Mayaya aparata, it is mayaya aparata means because of maya, those who are deluded. So the deluded ones, adnyanaha is deluded ones. And why are they deluded? Already I've told you, they're deluded because of the relationship. And the fourth one as the of the asuri, I mean asuras, the asuras, that is number four. Okay. So asuram, belonging to the demons, nature, ashrita means belong, they have taken. So four kinds. One is the fools, mudha. There are four kinds of dushkritina. Dushkritina means evildoers. Means they are doing evil by not surrendering to me. One is the fools, mudaha. One is naradhama. We'll see what naradhama is. Nara and adhama is the break of the nara is human, adhama is the lowest of the low. So he says there are some lowly people who are not, they don't surrender. And adnyanaha means those who are deluded because of the maya, and those who are of asuri prakriti. Asura word is asusu ramante iti asura. That is the break of that word. Asusuramante. Asusuram. Asu means breath, pranas. This breath is asusu. So asusuramante means those who revel in the pranas. Who revels in the pranas? That means those who are extremely identified with the body. Pranas are a part of the body, right? So because pranas is what is keeping this body alive, the breathing. So when they say asusu ramante, ramante is to revel. So the ones who revel in the pranas means they are so attached to the body. So every time they're only thinking of the body only. Those people are known as asuras. So these are the four kinds of people. Next week, we will go into the details of all of them. Any questions?
Yeah, G, I have a question.
Yes.
You talk about Bhagavan's Maya, that there is nothing wrong with it.
Mm.
We are creating the likes and dislikes in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This might be a stupid question, but I
audio. Your audio is on, but video also you can turn on, Padmaja.
Okay.
I mean, it was on, but it just went off. Okay, now, huh?
Yeah, so when you talk about, you know, Bhagavan's Maya being, nothing is wrong with that.
Yeah.
And we are likes and dislikes, so we are making it difficult.
Yeah.
But sometimes when we think about floods and natural disasters.
Yeah.
Where do that, isn't now, that from, causing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, floods and natural disasters and all. What is happening? You have to see fires. I'll tell you just example. BC had fires, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? Just now, so much in the summer. And we were traveling and there were parts when there was smoke and all that. And I said, oh my God. I was traveling with my son and I said, you know, my God, you know, Neil, so much fires, so much loss. And he said, Mom, it is an essential part of the environment. Fires. They are created naturally. These fires happen because my first thing was, what did somebody stupid people leave the cigarette butts or this thing? He said, no. This has happened because of the lightning hitting the top of the trees. And he says that is God's way of burning the forest down so that new forest will come up. And he said, it is actually necessary. The forest fires are necessary. Of course, because of that, what happens is people suffer if they're too close to that. But those fires that are happening within the forest, they actually have to happen so that the forest burns down and new vegetation will come up. Same thing with the natural disasters. See, the population is going beyond control. Okay? People are not taking it seriously. We all have only one and two children. We have taken it. But still it is going into billions, right? Now what is God has to take care of it. And how can God take care of it is by these natural disasters. Because wherever that death will happen, there will always be birth as well. So that's why even the natural disaster is Bhagwan's Maya and there's nothing wrong with them. This is how it is to be understood. It is only I, you know, then my ego, oh, I feel so, oh, how sorry I feel. It is all coming from the ego. Now, Kerala floods happened, right? Floods have fires, BC. Every year there is, Alberta last year, two years ago, Alberta had so many fires. We had this year. It's a natural process of the regeneration of the environment. That is how it should be understood. It should not be understood as God is punishing somebody. That is how you think it is, right? It's yeah. Like, why are they punished, right? Why are those people? No, it is not like that. It is not like that. And individually, we all have our own things, right? But that's why that acceptance is there.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand one thing. If God has created something, how can there be anything wrong with it?
Yeah.
There cannot be. If you think about it, you know, like I know you guys have got so much snow, but you know, snow is also necessary. Na? Already they're saying glaciers are receding. Now they're worried about that also, right? Every year the glaciers are reduced. You go to Athabasca. I was in Athabasca glacier. They said, oh, so many years ago it was this much. And now it's only this much and this much and this much, right? That's why.
It's absolute acceptance.
Yeah, absolute acceptance has to be there. You must have the faith that whatever is happening by the will. Kenopanishad we studied, right? Even a blade of grass doesn't move, right?
Yeah.
So imagine if a huge flood or a huge fire is happening, you think it is not God's will? It is God's will. Accept it. Accept it. And whatever you can do to help, you do.
Yeah.
You know, I was sitting here, this Red Cross sent me an email saying Alberta fires, they need money. I could send, I sent. So whatever, I'm not a nurse or a doctor that I can go there. I'm not in a position to go there and help or this thing. Then that you do, that you accept. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Next week, we'll continue with verse 15. Okay. All right. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Hari Om everybody, I'll see you next Monday.